sponsored by Hum by Verizon. Kids borrowing the car? Now with Hum by Verizon, you can get notifications if they're driving too fast or going places they shouldn't. Find out more at hum.com today.
Air it out on the Fan.
I'm Marcus, that's Rookie. It is draft season. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the first round. We visited with Badgers linebacker Vince Beagle in hour number one. He gave a lot of Packer-esque answers, and the Packers have a need at linebacker. Perhaps Vince will stay in state and land with the Packers. We'll find out. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Tony Pauline, draft analyst. He's got all the latest buzz on the draft. Tony, how you doing this morning?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So let me just start out there. We had Vince Beagle on in the first hour. What are your thoughts on Beagle and maybe his running mate, T.J. Watt, who's been getting some first-round buzz?
I've been a big fan of Beagle for the past 3 years. I watched him as a sophomore. I thought he was an NFL type of linebacker. I think he's very underrated. I think he gets overshadowed, unfortunately, by T.J. Watt. I think he's going to be an exceptional 3-4 outside linebacker. I love his tenacity. I love the fact that, you know, his strength up the field on the blitz. The fact he also plays the run well. I think, like T.J. Watt, he's going to have to learn to play make plays in reverse. Not just up the field, but I think Beagle's got that athleticism. T.J. Watt I like. I think he's a bit overrated. I don't have him as a first-round pick. I think that last name of his kind of endears him to a lot of people and may boost up his draft stock more than it warrants. I mean, he doesn't have a big body of work. He is a forceful player like Beagle. I don't think – he's probably more athletic and more explosive than Beagle, though I don't think he is – as well-rounded. I think Beagle's a little bit better against the pass than T.J. Watt, but, you know, T.J. Watt can rush the passer. He makes a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's got the bloodline, so people are going to fall in love with him. Bottom line is they're both very good NFL linebacker prospects.
Tony, what's going on with the quarterback situation as a whole in the draft here? I'm kind of getting mixed signals here. One time you hear that there's not going to be a run on QBs. Now you hear there may be a run on QBs, and now suddenly the Browns might take Trubisky number one overall and instead of Garrett. What's going Trubisky, what's going on with the quarterback situation?
Well, it's like the quarterback situation every year. I mean, quarterbacks are always overrated, especially in outside media. I mean, because it's a position of need. It's the law of supply and demand, and demand is huge, and the supply is not that great. Do I think there's going to be a run on quarterbacks? No. I think you're going to have two quarterbacks go in the first round, and you're going to probably have two or three in the second round. I don't think you're going to see a bunch of quarterbacks go in the middle of round one. Basically because they're okay. I mean, they're nothing great, the quarterbacks. You look at Trubisky, he's a solid quarterback. He doesn't have a good body of work. He was a starter for 1 year. And he had some problems last year, but he's got a high upside. You know, Deshaun Watson has a great body of work. He's a true leader, but does he have NFL type of arm? Does he have NFL type of skills? I don't think so. Patrick Mahomes has all those NFL types of skills. He has a huge arm, but he played in a wide-open system at Texas Tech where he rarely used a tight end, played in a Big 12 conference that has got some terrible defenses, so it's going to take a while for him to be NFL-ready. So, you know, these guys have a good amount of upside, but they come with a lot of downside risk. As far as the Browns, you know, it's 2 weeks before the draft. There's going to be a lot of debate in war rooms, usually around the league, especially with the teams at the top of the draft who – have to get it right, although the Browns usually seem to get it wrong. To me, the story is true, and I heard about it last night because I heard that Hugh Jackson wants Myles Garrett in the front office, wants a quarterback. But the fact is I don't know why this is getting out there when the team has two top 12 picks and they can get Myles Garrett at the top of the draft and come away with the quarterback at number 12. To me, you know, it makes no sense, but I hate to be belligerent or hate to be negative. When does anything that the Cleveland Browns do ever make sense?
Right.
Good point. Follow him on Twitter, at Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst and publisher of draftanalyst.com. All the latest rumors and happenings surrounding the 2017 NFL draft. So the Packers sitting there at number 29. We've learned that it's a deep draft at positions of need for the Packers, including running back, edge rusher, cornerback. Packers are sitting in a pretty good spot there, are they not?
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, I think they're going to get a very good player at a position of need. I think they can get good value. Right now I have them taking Takarris McKinley, the defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher from UCLA. I mean, there's a chance that one of the top cornerbacks could fall into their laps. you know, they're in a very good spot. I mean, if they target a player, say Kevin King of the Washington Huskies or another cornerback, they may only have to move up a few slots to get him if in fact they want to do that. Or, you know, if there is a dearth of talent there, they may choose to move back and figure, you know, we're gonna focus on cornerbacks this year, and we can get a good one in the top of round two and come away with some extra selection. So it's good to be where the Packers are right now. I'm sure Ted Thompson's very, very relaxed and very happy.
Tony, you touched on the possibility of maybe Green Bay trading back out of that pick. You know, and we were talking about quarterbacks that you don't think would be a run in the middle of the first round, but maybe if there's a team that wants to slide back into the late first round to pick up one of those other quarterbacks to get that fifth-year option, you know, to see if he pans out, that's got to be a pretty good probability, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, again, let's go back to the Cleveland Browns, who have a history. You know, whether it's Brady Quinn, whether it's Johnny Manziel, the kid from Oklahoma State that never panned out. I mean, they have a history of moving back into the late part of round one to grab a quarterback. San Francisco is in dire need. With the 34th pick, they are in desperate need of a quarterback. They could move up to get a quarterback. So, you know, the opportunity may present themselves to Ted Thompson, the Packers, to basically slide down to the top part of round two and come away with some extra selections and still have the opportunity to draft a good pass rusher or a good cornerback.
Tony, over in your years covering the draft, how have you seen things maybe handled in the late first round with that? How has the fifth-year option changed the way teams deal with that late first-round pick?
Well, it's not just the fifth-year option. It's the entire salary cap with the hard cap with the rookies, mm-hmm. where teams now, you know, the first-round pick is not as valuable as it was in the past in the sense that, you know, if you were taking a guy like Jamarcus Russell and throwing $65 million at him, you know, you couldn't take that hit because it would basically destroy your franchise for 4 to 5 years. Now it's really not viewed that way because of the hard salary cap. So I don't know that teams are really so much willing to move into the late part of round one to get that fifth year as they're basically targeting a player and they want to get him before any other team selects him.
Tony Pauline here on The Fan, specifically with the Packers, and we've asked you about positions of need and all that, but, you know, keeping your ear to the ground, hearing any rumors, what are the Packers thinking this year?
I reported at the Combine that look for the Packers to take cornerbacks early and often. I mean, I feel through free agency and through the draft, they're going to come out with a lot of different cornerbacks or a number of cornerbacks. I would expect them. I mean, the interesting thing is to see what they do on the offensive line, especially with Jason Spriggs being selected in the second round last year and then their losses to free agency this year. You know, do they take an offensive lineman? I haven't taken Deion Dawkins in the second round. I've heard they like him. Dawkins is a guy who can play tackle or guard. He's an athletic type of player, and I think he's a good fit for the system. So that's a guy that that I think they are high on, and they may select him. I think the big thing is look for an offensive lineman somewhere in the second day of the draft for the Packers.
Okay, now let me ask you about a corner, since you said early and often at that position. I really like the corner from Colorado. I know they've got two, but Chidobe Awuzie, he's a versatile guy, can play inside, can play outside, kind of like what Micah Hyde did for the Packers, and now he's since moved on to Buffalo. But what are your thoughts on Awuzie?
Can play inside, can play outside, can also play safety. I mean, and here's a guy who scored a 35 on his Wonderlic, so you know that he's a quick thinker and he's pretty smart. You know, he's an athletic guy, again, in a cornerback draft with the Marshawn Lattimores and the Gary and Connollys, and those types of players, and what happened with Sidney Jones. Awuzie doesn't get the ink that he should, but he's been a consistent starter at Colorado. He's got decent size. He's a good athlete. As I said, 35 on the Wonderlic. He's smart. I mean, he's an every-down player, not just against the pass, also very good against the run. And you know, you look at the type of players that Ted Thompson likes, you know, Awuzie, if he's there, if he's available, will be in the conversation. I just don't know that he's going to be there for when the Packers are called to the clock.
Tony, the last few weeks and maybe a couple of months we've heard, well, recently Richard Sherman, maybe the Seahawks dangling him out there. A while back we were hearing the Browns maybe loading up some of those picks for Jimmy Garoppolo. What is the likelihood that maybe anything like that resurfaces with those two guys once the draft gets up and running?
I think it's more likely to happen with Sherman than it is with Garoppolo. I don't think the Patriots want to get rid of Garoppolo. You don't know how much time Brady has. You know, if they can sign Garoppolo to a long-term deal, that would be a good thing. And let's not forget, I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offered Mike Lennon, you know, huge money just to be the backup. So why would the New England Patriots let their future potential franchise quarterback go? I think it may happen with Richard Sherman if there's a team who feels that Sherman can put them over the top and really turn them into a contender and has the ammunition. You know, those trades happen because, like you said, with the Cleveland Browns loading up on picks to potentially trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, a team that's going to want to trade for Richard Sherman is going to have either multiple picks, multiple first-round picks in this year's draft or multiple picks moving forward or be willing to part with future picks. But the short answer of your question is I think it's more likely to happen with Sherman than it would be a trade for Garoppolo.
Hey, great stuff, Tony. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll hope to check in with you one more time before the draft.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony.
That's Tony Pauline. Follow him on Twitter, at Tony Pauline, NFL Draft Analyst and publisher of DraftAnalyst.com. He's got a lot of great info. I know you're a rock guy, Rookie. Do you agree with this? Tony Pauline's bio on Twitter, lifelong fan of the mightiest band of them all, Led Zeppelin.
I'm a Zeppelin guy. Not my favorite band, but I'm a Zeppelin guy, absolutely, for sure.
Okay.
Classic rock, absolutely.
I'm a Big Sean guy.
I know you are. You could be Big Sean for all I know.
I'm going to see Lil Wayne and Madison on Saturday.
I'm sorry to hear about that.